But it's been a great joy to share in this journey of faith with you all and to watch your children grow up, to have a front row seat for that, and to be God's glad and faithful people together. So thank you. And the wonderful gift, another wonderful gift you've given us today is that neither of us are preaching, and that we get for the 20th year now to hear from some of our church members on what their faith and their church mean to them. So listen now to the word of God as it comes to us from the 6th chapter of Paul's first letter to Timothy. Words that talk about, the last line is quite powerful, I think. Hear the word of God. As for those who are in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. So today we'll hear from Robin Daniel, Candy Heinrichsen, and Andrew Mott about taking hold of the life that really is life.
Good morning, everybody. It's an honor to stand here before you this Loyalty Sunday. I got some help from God when I was gathering my thoughts. I was out walking our 9-pound Yorkie, Reggie, and he's a hospice orphan that we adopted a couple years ago. And God is in his eyes for sure. But we were taking our daily constitutional, not so much a brisk walk as a saunter and a sniffing session is pretty much what Reggie does. We don't really get much of an exercise session, but God's beauty was all around us in the typical fall scenes. We were looking at all the pretty leaves and the sun was shining through them, and suddenly the church bells started tolling off in the distance. I'm not sure why, but it was beautiful. And Reggie stopped by a tree to check it out and claim it for his. And we looked down and there were three purple crocus coming up through the dead leaves. And I thought, this is spring flowers. And they were just popping right up through the dead leaves. And I thought, okay, God is everywhere. And I particularly find God in nature and thank him all the time when I'm taking these walks and for the glory that he's created. My Presbyterian roots are very deep. My parents, Harold and Ramona, met while singing with a very fine choir of Central Presbyterian Church in downtown Atlanta. This is a very old church dating back to 1848. This church was one of only a few that General Sherman did not burn down on his famous march to the sea in what Southerners have called the War of Northern Aggression. It's not clear if it was an act of mercy or if the churches were too close to the home that he had commandeered for his headquarters down the street. But nonetheless, it stood, and this church has had a very significant presence in Atlanta for many years and in many ways, and I especially was struck, I think even as a child, by its mission work. They had a baby clinic that they operated right in the church, and they had a homeless shelter way back, you know, lots and lots of things that they did. My early memories of church also include visiting Thornwell Orphanage in North Carolina with my grandmother and her circle ladies. We made pretty regular trips to that and to nursing homes where we brought sweet children's songs to all the elderly. In Ohio, as a teenager, I participated in the Presbyterian Church-sponsored mission trips, much as they do here. We did a lot of things. We were in Maine one year fixing a church camp that was in bad need of repair. And by the way, we also started a coffee house then, complete with telephone wire spool tables and Chianti candles on the tables. Perhaps all of these missions to which I was exposed and in which I participated are what led me to earn my master's degree in social work. I am the token bleeding heart in a large family of engineers of every type. I've always been drawn to work in medical settings and spent time in nursing homes, rehab settings, and hospitals. I was also drawn to help those suffering from terminal illness, and I've been involved in various capacities with hospice programs around the country for almost 15 years. Attending to the needs of the sick and dying is a true blessing in my life. Whether they overtly want to discuss spiritual issues or not, God is always present. He gives me a strength and calmness which I share with my patients and their loved ones. Sometimes they want to pray, but often they just want to be heard or to have someone sit with them to assure them that someone cares and that everything will be all right. I'm constantly moved by how strong the spiritual connections and beliefs of many of the dying shine through as they near the end of their lives. I guess I could sum up my connection to the church from way back as saying, as Matthew does, you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And second, you should love your neighbor as yourself. My faith has always had a musical side, perhaps because I sat in the church choir loft before I was even born. Sunday mornings in our house always feature the Mormon Tabernacle Choir broadcast playing on my parents' radio as we put on our Sunday clothes and newly polished shoes. From gospel songs to the Messiah, from church services to coffee houses, the Spirit moves through me in song, and I appreciate all the members of Wildwood who are part of the music ministry, and special hello to Kay, who's at home and said she's going to listen later. Wildwood has provided a church home for me and for Jacob. We joined with the first class in this new building, but as Greg told me, we acted like members for some time before that on Sears Boulevard. We've always felt welcome and cared for by this wonderful congregation. It's a place to which we come for affirmation and confirmation of our faith and our connection with God and with each other. As the banner says, reach up, reach in, and reach out. We both appreciate the opportunity to be part of God's people here and to serve with the talents with which God has provided us. We attended many churches in many cities and states over the years and have definitely found a home here. Our fabulous quartet of pastors and all of you, the ministers of Wildwood, are a wonderful extended family. Thank you.
That's a tough act to follow. Good morning. My name is Candy Heinrichsen, and my husband Dan and I have been members since 1981 at Wildwood. It's Loyalty Sunday, and Greg asked if I'd be interested in participating to share my faith journey, as my faith has certainly been put to the test over the last 30 years. Have I been loyal to God? Sometimes, but not always, as I seem to question, as we all do, why things happen as they do. Has God been loyal to me? Without a doubt, I can say that now, but in the last month, I wasn't so sure. It's funny how God works through friends, co-workers, and even our own children. On my birthday about 30 years ago, my oldest daughter, Courtney, age 5 at the time, asked me, Mommy, where does Jesus live? We hadn't been attending church since we were married in Northbrook 9 years earlier, so I thought perhaps it was time to start looking for a church, since a church home, as I wanted my daughters to have the benefit of being part of a church family. I had not been raised with a faith, and I always felt that I had missed something. I picked up the phone book and found two Presbyterian churches nearby. One was in McHenry and one was in Wildwood, both having pastors with the name of Snyder. How curious I thought that was, since Dan and I were married by Reverend James Snyder in Northbrook in 1972. Something told me to call the one in Wildwood, and believe it or not, our Jim Snyder answered the phone, and we both immediately recognized each other's voices. He said, come on over. And so we did, and as they say, the rest is history. I believe that God held my hand when I made that call. 3 months later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. The timing a coincidence? I think not. Not only did we receive the love and support we needed to get through that crisis, but I was able to reach out to Our Ladies group at that time and give a talk about what it means to be a breast cancer survivor. It helped me to heal emotionally, knowing that perhaps I could help others. Throughout the years, we've gone through typical trials and tribulations that come with raising children, having them leave for college, having them get married and start families of their own. Bringing grandchildren into our lives only intensified those family bonds, and now our love can be shared even more fully. As Greg said last week, I think as the years go by, I'm beginning to understand the hokey-pokey gospel. The more I question, the more I have to put my whole self in. About 6 weeks ago, I took Dan, my husband, to the ER as he was having severe abdominal pain. After his exam and a CAT scan, they determined that he had fluid around his liver. Through an aspiration, they determined it was an abscess. After 5 days of waiting, the pathologist determined it was a rather rare bacteria for which he needed to be hospitalized immediately to receive antibiotic treatment. They tried to drain the fluid, but after having a severe reaction and difficulty breathing, they removed the drain and said he would have to continue the IV antibiotics at home, for which I could administer over the next 6 weeks. Yeah, me, an office manager, not a nurse. They would watch his symptoms very closely. Within 5 days, his condition worsened, breathing became more difficult, and he wound up back in the hospital that evening, at which time the doctors determined that this infection had now spread to the lining of his lung and was beginning to compromise his lung function. I know Greg had notified us that Dan's name had been placed on the prayer chain, and Dan jokingly said to Greg, "Someone's not pulling their weight on the prayer chain." Greg said he would immediately send out a disciplinary letter. A couple more days passed, and Dan began to improve greatly. They had planned surgery to remove the residual infection that was pressing on his lung and hopefully could do it laparoscopically. They told us that time was of the essence. On the Monday of the scheduled surgery, the doctors were saying to him, "I don't know why you're feeling better. Maybe we don't need the surgery after all." Was God answering our prayers? Dan and I were uncertain that we were making the right decisions. We needed a second opinion, and we needed it right away. God was with us when we were able to get in touch with another specialist in Chicago that morning who spoke to me and to our doctor to confirm our decisions. How often do doctors weigh in on a case without ever meeting you? A God moment? You bet it was. Dan was not looking forward to surgery, but now a peace came over both of us, knowing that we were making the right decisions. So surgery happened on Tuesday, October 11th. Unfortunately, the doctors were unable to use the scope as the infection was so pervasive that a full thoracotomy had to be performed. In 2.5 weeks, he has recovered so well and so quickly that I know that that disciplinary letter from Greg certainly got through to the prayer chain. And I thank you all for that. So Wednesday night, after spending a couple of very stressful days at the hospital, I was on my way home, thinking about getting some much-needed rest, when one more challenge came my way. At 8 p.m., I was trying to merge onto Route 12 when my car found the biggest pothole in Wakanda. I pulled into the closest gas station to see that my right front tire was demolished. I needed help, and I didn't know who to call. I looked over in the parking lot, and I saw a man on his phone. I asked if he knew where I could get my tire changed at that time of night, and he politely said, "I can help you with that." My good Samaritan. Another God moment. We fumbled in the dark and managed to get the tire changed, and he said to me, "You know, I'm really glad this happened tonight. I don't mean I'm glad that it happened to you, but I just found out my 18-year-old son started smoking, and I was very upset. This gave me something to do and get my mind off of it." And I told him he could go to sleep tonight, knowing that he helped out a stranger who was definitely in need. So my faith journey continues. I've been so richly blessed in my life with my wonderful husband, 2 beautiful daughters and son-in-laws, and 4 adorable grandchildren. My faith in God has grown and taken me in directions sometimes that I don't understand. But eventually I wind back around to the place that gives me strength. I know I can't get through it alone. Thank you.
Good morning. What I'd like to do is tell you a little story about how we came to Wildwood Presbyterian. My wife, Nikki, and I, in 2006, were looking for a new church to call our own. We were planning a family and knew we wanted to get into a place that would serve as a long-term faith home for our hopeful family. So we actually came to Wildwood based on a recommendation from a friend who was attending the church here. We came in the spring of 2006 and were blown away, obviously, by the church. You know, we loved this pastor couple who you could tell pretty much the first time you saw them that they were something special, more than your typical pastors. The quaint, comfortable building that was so warm and inviting and well used but well cared for and well loved really appealed to us, as well as just watching all the church members, especially when church was over. You know, it wasn't one of those things where everybody just checks the box and leaves, but everybody gets together and wants to hang around and talk and go to Sunday school. We just felt that there was something special here. So we continued, our search, if you will, and came back to Wildwood a few times as visitors and checked it out. We joined the inquiries class, and as people would come up to us, whether it was here or friends or people elsewhere, you know, we'd give the standard, oh, we're looking at churches, you know, trying to find one for our family. Well, that really was a lie, because we didn't look at any other churches. We pretty much, the moment we got in our car after that first visit, we started talking and we went, this is what we're looking for, you know. It was kind of an impulse decision. And I'm sure most of you know, impulse decisions don't always seem to work out so well, right? That Michael knows, you know, that as seen on TV gadget that you bought doesn't work exactly how it's supposed to, or that crazy hat that looked so cool at the mall, you get home and, you know, it just doesn't really look as good. But this was one decision that we made, a gut decision, or maybe a faithful decision that worked out for us. And ever since, it's been a series of confirmations that we truly made, you know, the right decision for ourselves. So later in 2006, our pregnancy with our first child ended way, way too soon, and we found ourselves in the hospital dealing with that. And here we were, new church members, and Nikki and I knew that we wanted to call our pastor, but we were nervous, right? We didn't even know if they knew who we were, if they'd be able to put a face with the name. But when we called and talked to Greg, he was at the hospital within probably a couple of hours, there every day, and even performed an impromptu little baptism for us just on a moment's notice. And although it started as kind of a, you know, hope that they would know who we were, both him and Kathy, by the time that couple of days was over, it was like they were that, you know, long-term family pastor that you've known your whole life, or is really a part of your family. And we've got other things that have happened with us as well that have just confirmed our choice to join Wildwood Presbyterian. My daughter was able to play Jesus in the Christmas pageant one year, which was fantastic. The meals and the outpouring of support as our daughters were born from people we knew and people we didn't know within the church reconfirm that. Getting together with these goofballs over here at the end of every week obviously is a testament to the Christian education that our church provides, and is most of the time a good foresight of where my girls are going to end up in a few years here. And then just every time when you walk out of the sanctuary and there's always a face, a familiar face, or maybe a not so familiar face that's willing to walk up to you and strike up a conversation, and often others with children, I'm sure, too, get this, but just so sweet and complimentary about our kids and the fact that they're happy to get to watch them growing up. And I think that's what really gets us about WPC, is that, you know, we all have a stake in each other here, right? It's much more than just a place to go to church. I was talking about what I was going to say with Nakia the other day, and she put it this way, and I'm paraphrasing. So she said, what I love is the way everybody kind of huddles around those who need it, right? In good times and in bad, or even just with things that go on here at the church on a daily basis. And she's right on, if you think about it, you know, tragedy, celebration, and things like extra care, fundraising, which there'll be a silent auction on November 20th, by the way, so make sure you mark your calendars. Christian education, you know, all of these things really show us how we huddle together and look out for one another. And, you know, we may not always all see eye to eye, and we definitely are not all the same. But like I said, we all have a stake in each other, and you can see that everybody cares about everybody here. And we're always there for each other, just like a family. We're always there huddling and opening ourselves to God. And Wildwood Presbyterian is this family's home. So we knew we saw something special when we came that first day and checked out Wildwood over on Sears Boulevard. And it was faith that brought us in. And we may not have known exactly what we were getting into at the time, but what we ended up with was a new family. Thanks.
Thank you, Robin and Candy and Andrew, for sharing how God has richly provided for you in your life and for encouraging us all to take hold of the life that really is life. Thanks be to God. Amen.